When we got to the clearing where we had stashed the money, I stayed back inside the scattered pines and covered Jack with my rifle. Only when he returned with the saddlebags did I stop scanning the trees and ridgeline.
Woohoo! I love it!
Jack opened the bags and let bundles of dollars spill out on the ground. I took my blanket roll from behind my saddle and spun it out on the ground. We stacked the money neatly across the middle. I started to roll it up when Jack snatched up three or four bundles and dropped them back in the saddlebags. I glanced up at him. He winked.
In case we get waylaid by Pope, it'd look better if he finds some of it.
Good thinking. We'll say we lost the rest crossing the Powder. We started out across the clearing to stay away from the trail as long as we could. Halfway across, a shaky voice boomed out from the far edge of the clearing.
One more step and we'll blow your brains out.
Jack and me froze.
Reckon they got here late?
Jack's hand drifted near his holster.
Get your hands up! It's ours and we'll kill you for it!
Jesus Christ! Kid calling, run around Joe? Well, you know, Counts. Easy, fellas, we ain't looking for no trouble.
Cole's hand shook as he pointed the shotgun. I hoped it wouldn't go off accidentally.
Don't you remember us?
Runaround leaned forward and nearly fell.
Injuns?
No, we met on the trail a while back. Y'all were drunk and gave us a couple canteens of wonderful stuff.
Cole stepped forward with the shotgun raised.
Now you figure on stealing the rest of it. Ain't that right?
Army?
Damn, Cole, we ain't after your whiskey.
Hell, if we wanted a drink, we know we'd be welcome. We wouldn't have to steal it.
Circus?
Joe stared at the bald-faced gelding and the Catahoula cur as they roamed about the edge of the clearing. The Catahoula was muscling up and looking slicker every day. Cole let down the shotgun and shook his head.
If we don't take them, they'll die out here, Jack.
What's that?
I said, why don't you fellers throw in with us to Crofton?
Tell you the truth, we're a little worried about Indians. We could use some help.
Ain't you gonna shoot them?
Hell, I don't know, run around.
He lowered his shotgun, snatched off his hat, and wiped it across his face. His hands trembled. Sweat covered his chest and shoulders.
It's so damn confusing out here. This liquor's got me crazy as a June bug. Y'all was running cattle up to Montana, weren't you?
No, that was you two, remember? We was taking horses up to Kearney. Y'all passed out on us.
Nah, remember. They's the ones what killed that engine.
Yeah, and nearly got us scalped.
Cole spread a one-tooth grin as I eased from my saddle and led my horse toward him.
It worked out. We gave him a jug and got him drunk. When they left here, they couldn't tell sheep dip from shoe polish.
I handed him a canteen of water from my saddle, and he took it with a shaky hand. Water sloshed out of it as he raised it to his mouth, then passed it to Runaround. He let out a trembling hand.
Turns out, they left us a scout to help us stay out of trouble. He's back there, passed out, keeping an eye on the horses. Shoshone is a pretty good bunch, even if they do work for the army.
Jack slipped from his saddle, and the four of us walked a quarter mile from the clearing to a clay overhang. Beneath it lay three broken jugs and a passed-out Indian who looked to be 100 years old. Flies swarmed around him, and a white streak of droppings ran down his shoulder where a bird had perched. It must have flew away as we came out of the brush.
He's dead.
No, he just smells like it. He been down drunk for the past week. Once he's up and around, ain't no better scout to be found. They call him One Drumbeat. Hell, he found a poor sumbitch been laying for a week with his ear gone and 2 fingers missing.
Flowers?
Why not? Nothing simple up here. We start out to take care of business and wind up saddled with a bald horse, a crazy dog, 2 drunks, and a dead Indian.
That evening, we sat around the low fire, sipping coffee, waiting for the cover of darkness before heading out. Our intention was to swing wide to Fort Kearney and meet Dirty Jaw at Crofton. I figured if we could keep Cull and Joe away from the whiskey, it wouldn't hurt to have a couple extra guns in case we ran into trouble. And it would be better for them if we could get them out of Indian country. As far as what to do with One Drumbeat, I had no idea.
What about this feller with a missing ear? Where'd you find him?
Cull and Runaround both kept licking their lips and glancing toward the jugs they'd tied to their horses.
Found him 2 weeks back, crawling up the side of a cliff. Beat found him, drug him back to us. We patched him up and poured him full of liquor. He left us a few days ago, said he was retiring and headed down south. Poor sumbitch.
Well, that's good. I think we're going to retire ourselves when we get out of here. We climbed to the top of the overhang as the sun cast long shadows across the darkening valley. Lying flat and scanning the distant line of scrub timber, we soon made out 7 riders tracking the route we'd taken to the money.
Hope?
Jack rolled over on his back and gazed up. I don't think so. That rider looks familiar. I stared closer and saw the man turn his face up toward the cliffs beneath us. I let out a breath as recognition set in. Jesus, Jack. It's Long Jake and his posse.
Good. I was afraid we'd run out of something to do.
Jack took out his pistol and checked the action. Kid Cull crawled up the side of the cliff carrying a jug and stood straight up.
What are y'all looking at?
Before I could warn him...
What the hell's that?
Get down, you idiot!
Scopes. That shot'll knock your head off. I admire a fellow who goes with the latest in shooting gear.
That's dangerous.
I peeped over the edge.
They don't know it's us. They could kill some innocent person.
Up here, not likely.
What's going on? Are they Injuns?
We turned and crawled toward the back of the cliff.
No, but there will be. Quicker than you can blow a bubble in a bathtub.
You might as well know the truth. There's a lot of folks pissed off at us up here.
Why? Have y'all broke the law?
We inched down the overhang.
Not so you could tell it from a long ways off, but if you want to stay alive, you better crack that jug and get a clear head.
I'm just getting drunk here. I don't want to die. Hell, I got a wife and a youngin.
I saw that the shot had sobered him a little. As we slid the last few feet into camp, I stopped and grabbed him by the collar.
Listen, cowboy, whether you like it or not, you're in this up to your eyeballs. Unless you think you can explain yourself through a rifle scope, you better work with us here till we get to safety.
But I ain't done nothing!
Then you stay and tell him.
I snatched the reins to my horse and swung up in the saddle. Cole dropped the jug and started staggering in a confused circle.
Wait! We're going! We're going!
He grabbed Joe by the arm and tried pulling him to his feet.
Damn it! Run around, get up!
Jack helped him drag the fat cowboy up and pour him into his saddle. I slid from my horse and did the same with one drum beat.
You're gonna have to listen to me. I know you're still drunker than a hoot owl, but you'll have to pay attention and help us out.
Mm-hmm. Cole swallowed hard, glanced toward the jug of whiskey, and licked his trembling lips.
I'll try.
As we wound our way to the trail, I heard a voice from atop the cliff.
Bro, I'm taking back my money. Make it easy on yourself.
Who's that?
Colt glanced back over his shoulder, sweat pouring down his forehead.
That's just another sore loser, Parker Pope.
80-20. That's my only offer.
They've got scopes.
Who does?
I don't know, damn it, but I'm shot. Look at me.
We pounded along the trail nearly a mile when the Catahoula came running back toward us from around a bend. An arrow whistled past him as he made the turn. Indians whooped as they chased him to us. Knowing Pope's gang wasn't far behind, instead of turning around, we veered off the trail and down into a dry creek bed, leaving Pope to run smack into a war party of Shoshone with Long Jake's riders coming up in the rear. Cole's shirt was wet with sweat. Run around and one drumbeat sat slumped in the saddle as we quietly followed the creek bed.
Are all them people looking for you?
Yeah, more or less. But notice they're not right now. As long as we can stay ahead of everybody, we'll be all right.
Y'all are outlaws, ain't you? Not that it's none of my business. I'm just trying to figure out what I got myself into.
Well, we'll talk about it when you're a little more sober.
I gigged my horse and headed on up the stream bed as darkness closed around us like a velvet glove.
If I'm fixing to die, I don't know as I really ought to be sober.
Past midnight, we rode quietly the last 2 miles toward Crofton. We had been playing hide-and-seek with Long Jake, the Pope gang, and the whole U.S. cavalry for the last 3 days. I was surprised to see a faint glow of light coming from the town when we stopped. By now, I figured every rat had abandoned ship. Call and Runaround reined up beside us, leading the old Indian's horse. One drumbeat wobbled and gave us his first sign of life in 4 days. Behind them, the bald-faced gelding arrived, and to our right, The Catahoula Cur poked his nose in the air, sniffing toward Crofton.
What kind of hell are we fixing to ride into?
Beside Cull, Runaround Joe sat silent as stone. Taking out my pistol, I clicked the action a few times.
There could be 1,000.
1,000 what?
Engines, damn it, Joe! Now keep your mouth shut and pay attention. We're in some awful serious stuff here. I'm counting on you.
Yeah, I've heard that when they lift a man's scalp, it makes a sucking sound like peeling a wet blanket from a mud floor.
Lord God!
As we walked our horses to the street, we heard a woman's laughter and the strum of a banjo.
That sounds like Queenie.
We glanced around in the darkness at the bare spots where shacks had stood. Most of the town had been torn apart and hauled away. All that remained was the saloon, 3 empty buildings, and the ragged tent. 2 men stepped from the shadows beside the saloon as we rode toward the lights spilling through the broken doors. They cradled rifles in their arms.
Who are you people?
The voice came from beneath a wide-brimmed hat. Both of them looked us over as the bald-faced gelding walked toward them. The Catahoula Cur had disappeared.
We're just back from Powder. We ran a string up to Fort Kearney.
What the hell's this?
Shut up, Joe. Pay attention.
Then I won't ask how's your trip up.
The rifles drifted down. Both men stared at one drumbeat.
Is he dead?
No, he's been drunk on trade whiskey. So's these two. So don't make any sudden move around them. They're still a little skittish.
Lucky they're alive. I've seen that stuff peel paint off a wagon.
One of the men slipped back into the shadows as we followed the other into the saloon. We left one drumbeat tied to his horse. There was a gold-gray swirl of tobacco smoke and lamplight. An old toothless man sat playing the banjo. At the center of the crowded bar stood a tall, well-dressed man sipping a mug of beer.
Boss, this bunch just rode in from Kearney. I thought you'd want to meet him.
Thank you, Bobby Ray. I hope you boys enjoy good music. We're getting ready to hear some.
Music? Who can listen to music at a time
like
this?
I'm partial to banjo, if it's done well.
The man tipped up his hat and smiled again.
Then you won't be disappointed. I'm Tillman, Frank Tillman, representing Rails West Security.
Railroad?
I looked all around the crowded saloon. Rifles and bandoliers leaned everywhere. Queenie and her girls were slinging beer and shaking their wares in every direction.
Yes? Is that a problem, mister?
Beatty. Jim Beatty. No, sir. No problem. I admire railroads. Ride them every chance. I just can't get over so many people being here. I figured this place to be going down the road.
Progress, Mr. Beatty. A few disenchanted Indians can't stop the will of the people.
I reckon not. This here is Carl, Joe, and Smith. Like your man said, we're passing through back from Kearney. You mind me asking what you're doing up here? It's a hell of a ways from any rail work.
Oh, just looking around. You know railroads. We like to keep an eye on the future.
The bartender made his way over to take our order.
Got no liquor except rye whiskey. What'll you have?
That'll do.
What'll do?
Rye'll do.
What'll do?
Cole tried to grab the bartender.
Damn it! Rye whiskey! Can't you hear, you stupid sumbitch?
Easy, kid.
I grabbed Cull and pulled him away. Runaround threw a fat arm around his neck. Cull shook like a man with a terrible fever. Sweat poured down his face.
What's wrong with you damn people? Don't you know we're all gonna die?
See here.
Tillman laid his hand on his pistol.
Don't mind him. He's been drunk on trade whiskey. He's got one of them gone crazy hangovers.
Some of Tillman's men had started to stand with their hands on their pistols. He waved them back down.
Now see, thinks everybody's out to kill him.
That's the kind.
I saw Queenie come up to Jack, raise his hat, and ruffle his hair.
Maybe he should go sleep it off. I wouldn't want one of these men taking offense and blowing his head off.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I threw back a shot of rye as soon as the bartender poured it.
I reckon there's no one cares if we bed down in the livery barn?
Make yourself comfortable, wherever you like. With the army gone, we're glad to have some extra guns around.
I'd turned to follow Joe and Cole out of the saloon.
By the way, did you pass anyone on the trail?
No, Mr. Tillman, but then we didn't stay on the trail much. We skirted in from the woods and ledges. Why? You expecting somebody? I glanced once more quickly about the saloon. It struck me that this bunch was outfitted like a hanging posse. Tillman smiled, but I noticed something guarded behind his narrow eyes.
It always pays to know who's coming and going in this country.
The next morning, I woke in the livery barn and saw Kid Call staring out the window with his shotgun in his arms. He looked like a man with a world hung on his shoulders. He glanced at me as I stood up from a pile of hay, then back out the window as I walked over to him.
Well, how much help will that bunch be? There won't be much, not after drinking all night.
Behind us, Runaround Joe snored and the old Indian lay sprawled out flat on his back with a thin cobweb stretched from his hand to his nose. Jack's blanket hadn't been slept on. I figured he'd gone off to Queenie late in the night. Outside the window, the bald-faced gelding walked around in a short circle. Jack came strolling in, clean-shaved, wearing a freshly washed shirt and spilling a witch hazel. I just stared at him. He grinned.
But I thought about you all night. You should have come along. Vera still thinks you're wide earth.
You ain't? Are you?
It's a joke, Cole. Does she know anything we ought to know? Kid Cull took his shotgun and wandered off in a huff.
Yeah, and you ain't gonna like it. Tillman and that bunch ain't here to lay rail, that's for damn sure. They're waiting for McDowell to bring Red Cloud to Laramie. They plan on waylaying them here and holding Red Cloud on some trumped-up charge till they can finish the rails running into Montana.
You're kidding me. That could be over a year.
I knew you wasn't gonna take it real well.
Take it well? Jack, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. It ain't even legal.
Don't give me legal. We're talking about Washington. Plus Army, plus Railroad. That'll never come up legal.
But what's it supposed to get him? It ain't gonna settle his suit. If anything, it'll make him madder.
Mama.
If you listen to the whores, which I do, Queenie says one of the McDowell's officers got drunk and told her they could cut a deal with one of the other chiefs. He told her it was the only way the Army can come out without looking like a bunch of losers. I reckon they're desperate.
By God, I ain't gonna sit still and let it happen. We're gonna do something.
Here we go. I was hoping you'd just write the president a nasty letter once we got back to Missouri. According to Queenie, if McDowell does his job right, they should be on their way right now. They would have left the day after we did, only they'll ride straight down the Bozeman. Hell, they could be here any time.
McDowell! That rotten, smooth-talking son of a bitch. I told Cloud I thought he could trust him.
I glanced about us. A tiny spider walked along the thin web strung between one drumbeat's nose and hand. Runaround Joe'd quit snoring and turned face down on the straw-piled floor.
I'm riding out and telling Red Cloud.
I turned toward the stall to get my horse. Jack grabbed me by the arm.
Can't we just take our money and light the hell out of here? We came to make money and we've done it. We can always come...
He turned and watched Kid Cull walk in slowly with his hands tied before him. A trickle of blood ran down from a knot on his forehead. Behind him, three men stepped in with cocked rifles and fanned out across the barn. Tillman stepped in with a pistol pointed at Cull's head. Jack's hand drifted toward his holster.
One move and I'll make a good cowboy out of him.
What's going on?
Nothing unless you cause it. We've got business to attend to. I just think it might be wise if we hold you boys a while.
What's going on here? I thought we was all on the same side.
Shut up, cowboy. We'll have your guns, gentlemen.
I saw Jack's eyes turn dark. A twitch flickered across his cheek.
I never give up my gun. I wouldn't know how.
I stepped slowly away as the rifles took aim. I'd go for the one on the left of the door, then try for Tillman before he got a chance to kill Cull. In the corner of my eye, I saw the tiny spider hang by one leg, busily working the web.
I had you pegged as a gunslinger. Bobby Ray?
Yeah, boss.
The skinny feller from last night, with a crazy grin, stepped into the doorway with an arm wrapped around Queenie. Her face was battered and bleeding. Her head dangled limp toward her breasts. He raised the shiny razor in his right hand, drew back her head, and laid it firm across her throat.
She shot her mouth off to you last night about our business. Now it's up to you whether she lives or dies.
Queenie's swollen eyes drifted to Jack.
I'm sorry.
I mean it. He'll open her up.
Bobby Ray, Go on and cut her throat. I'll bet $10 I can put three right through her and blow your heart out before she hits the floor.
Jack.
You're bluffing.
Am I? Bobby Ray. Slice her open and let's find out.
Jack!
Is he, boss? I mean, I'll kill her, but I don't want to die.
Shut up! Of course he's bluffing!
And I've got you, Tillman. Straight through Cull before the rifle gets me.
Wait just one damn minute!
Sorry, Queenie, but we all die someday.
Tillman's hand turned white around the knuckles as he pressed the pistol against Cull's head. His face turned to stone.
All right, Bobby Ray. Cut her...
Wait!
Jack raised his hands just as a trickle of blood spilled over the edge of the razor. Bobby Ray had to jerk his hand to stop. Cull slumped against Tillman. The riflemen swept forward and lifted our pistols. Tillman let his pistol down. Bobby Ray turned Queenie loose. She fell back against the wall, rubbing her throat.
You're a poker player, ain't you, Tillman?
Tillman smiled and shoved Cull away.
I'm familiar with the game.
He straightened his suit coat and stepped forward. Jack grinned and extended his hand.
No hard feelings?
Tillman dropped his pistol in his holster and reached for Jack's hand.
Of course not.
Jack's boot shot up into Tillman's balls so hard it lifted him a foot off the floor. A rifleman drew back to bust Jack in the head, but I dove into his chest. Jack grabbed Tillman's hair and swung his head into a stall door.
Teach you to cut a whore.
I caught a glimpse of Jack's flying fist up and down as I wallowed on the floor in a scuffle.
Damn it! We're supposed to be on the same side!
I tried rolling away and saw Jack's hand reach between two men trying to knock him out.
You stupid son of a bitch!
Tillman was trying to crawl as Jack's hand reached for his face. Then the back of my head exploded.
Again.
I came back to the world just in time to get an earful from Bobby Ray. Our wrists were tied and I was on my side in the dirt.
Y'all some crazy some bitches, that's all I can say.
The only one left was Bobby Ray. He leaned against the inside of the barn door, cradling a rifle.
All we was gonna do is hold you till we took the engine. Now he's kicked Mr. Tillman's nuts up into his windpipe. There ain't no telling what he'll do.
Jack rolled up beside me against the wall. He shot a glance toward my boot. I winked.
You better. After me getting my ass kicked to draw their attention.
We're all sitting ducks here. We need to work together.
Hey, no talking now.
Jack looked all around, then at Bobby Ray.
What do you mean no talking? You think this is a damn schoolhouse?
I'm just doing what I'm told.
That does it. I'm offering him money.
Shut up!
Jack plowed his elbow into my ribs.
You boys don't quit, do you?
I don't know these fellas, I swear!
But it's the truth, Bobby Ray. See for yourself.
I nodded toward Jack's saddlebags hanging over a stall door.
You cowardly bastard!
Jack drew back a boot, spun and planted it on my shoulder. I pitched over against Cull.
Jack, what good is it if we're dead?
Just out of curiosity, I'm gonna check to see if you're telling the truth.
Cause I'd rather be dead with money than alive without it.
Jack drew back and kicked me again. Bobby Ray turned the saddlebags upside down and dumped them on the straw floor. The stacks of bills landed in a large clump. I stood up with some effort.
Jesus Christ! There must be 10, 15,000.
Bobby Ray leaned down, staring and wiping his hand on his knee.
I hope you're satisfied.
Jack swung both tied hands. I ducked.
You sniveling coward!
Cull stared at the money with his mouth hanging open.
This is the payroll money Pope and his gang took. There was over 80,000 in that robbery.
That's right. We've got all of it buried out.
That's
here.
It! Damn you!
Jack hurled himself against me. I tried to cover my face as he pounded me with his tied fists. I slung him away and planted my boot on his chest. As he came at me swinging.
Hold it!
Bobby Ray jumped forward, grabbing Jack's shoulder. The rifle dangled from his left hand.
Get him off me!
I held Jack away with my boot as Bobby Ray yanked him from behind. I felt both Jack's hands go into my boot, saw the quick flash, and watched Bobby Ray's rifle fly away as he threw both hands beneath his chin. Blood gushed like a Roman fountain from Bobby Ray's throat.
That's how you play cutthroat, you some bitch.
Jack lunged forward with the Glades knife in both hands and lifted him up on the sunken blade. I threw out my hands.
Hit it, Jack.
And Jack slashed through the rope.
What about me?
Jack threw out his hands as I ran over and pitched the timber latch across the barn door. I ran back, grabbed the Glades knife, and cut Jack's rope.
Get him.
I nodded toward Cull, pitching Jack the knife. Reaching down, I scraped the money into the saddlebags with one hand and snatched up the rifle with my other. Cull swallowed hard. His face was drawn and sickly gray.
I just want out of here alive. Tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Can y'all keep it down a little?
We rolled Bobby Ray's body into an empty stall and tied the old Indian to a horse. A string of cobweb hung from his nose and fluttered in his breath. Runaround Joe mounted up and sat rubbing his face with both hands.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Just don't get in front of me.
Swapping my rotted saddle for a new one hanging on a stall door, I quickly swung it on a tall chestnut gelding and tied my blanket full of money behind it. I just headed to open the back door when we heard someone knocking on the front.
Bobby Ray, you sweetheart. Let me in, you little devil. Can't stay mad at you.
It's Queenie.
Get her in here before somebody sees her.
Jack opened the door a foot and snatched her in.
Oh, you little animal. Jack, what the hell?
Jack slung her away from the door and shut it. Queenie looked around through swollen eyes. A bottle of rye hung from her hand. A gauze bandage circled her throat. Her eyes followed the trail of blood to Bobby Ray's boots sticking out of a stall.
Well, I came to get you out.
She raised her leg and pulled a .44 from under her dress.
But I see you're just leaving.
Thanks, Queenie, but we worked it out.
He reached for the pistol. Queenie pulled it back.
In that case, you dirty bastard.
She poked it straight in Jack's face. The tip of the barrel flattened his nose.
What the hell did you mean, go on and cut her throat, Bobby Ray? I even washed your stinking shirt.
Get that gun off my nose. Ugh.
Can't nobody work together here?
We ain't got time for no lover's spat.
I stepped forward with rifle pointed at Queenie.
He didn't let them kill you, for Christ's sake.
And if I had, he was just to protect the money.
What money?
Jack stepped back an inch, then two, then a foot, and rubbed his nose as Queenie eased the pistol down to his chest.
Damn, honey, I've been meaning to tell you, we've got enough money buried out there to buy hell from the devil. We just got to get away to get it.
It's true, Queenie. You can't blame them. There was money involved.
Well, I should really be pissed, but can I have some?
Why, hell yes, we're all friends here.
Jack reached out, eased the pistol from her hand, and took the bottle of rye. Jack stuck the pistol down in his belt and pulled the cork from the bottle with his teeth.
But we need to get going.
I'm going too.
You can't go.
Hell, I can't. I'm not letting you out of my sight until I see some money in my hand. And I'll scream loud enough to curl rope.
We ain't going nowhere. I won't lay back down.
Jesus Christ. Jack, help her get a horse. Let's get out of here.
Looking around at our group, I shook my head. The tiny spider hung at the end of the web string, swinging back and forth in front of the tip of one drum beat's nose with each breath. I went to the back door and peeped out through a crack. The back trail out of Crofton was overgrown with clumps of buffalo grass. Sunlight sparkled on scattered whiskey bottles.
Get your hand off there! I know how to straddle a horse.
I bet you do.
Raising the timber bolt, we slipped silently out the back door and eased our horses through the grass, quiet as ghosts, toward the shelter of a thin woodland 50 yards away. The bald-faced gelding circled the barn and trotted up beside us. For no reason at all, the horse threw back its hairless head. The Catahoula cur appeared out of nowhere and went into a fit of growling and barking as it snapped at the gelding's legs. I gigged my horse.
Run for it! He can't do nothing quiet around this damn bunch.
Near the woods line, I pulled to the side to let the others pass me. I reined around and threw the rifle to my shoulder as Tillman and three of his men ran out the back door and spotted us. One man took aim with a rifle, but Tillman shoved the barrel down. I let down my barrel and rode into the woods behind the rest. Jack reined back to me.
They won't shoot, but they're coming.
Hit the trail and ride like hell.
The old Indian wobbled so bad I thought he'd break his back as we cut through the woods and headed down to the trail. I rode in close, grabbed his reins, and led his horse at a hard run. Kid Call was 20 yards ahead of the rest of us, raising a wake of dust. A few miles down the trail, we veered up a narrow path to the top of a red cliff and let our horses catch their breath as we looked back down on the trail. We saw no sign of Tillman's men, but I knew they couldn't be far behind.
Jack, one of us is going to have to leave this bunch behind if we expect to reach Red Cloud.
You go. You've got the best horse of the bunch. I'll get us out of sight and hold out till you come back.
You sure? I can swap horses with you.
Jack reached over and pulled the rifle from my saddle scabbard.
Nah, I'm a better shot, and you'll do better talking to Red Cloud anyway.
Swinging down to the trail, I gigged the tall gelding into a full run and gave him free rein. After a good run, I drew the gelding to a walk as we topped a low rise. Sliding down from the saddle, I watched McDowell's party coming toward us at 200 yards. Bridger and one of the scouts jumped ahead and galloped toward me. I saw Red Cloud's top hat bobbing above the other riders just behind the waving flag.
Didn't reckon on seeing you again, riding or walking. Why are you pulling that horse down so hard?
I need to talk to Red Cloud.
I didn't know if Bridger was in on the setup or not. I couldn't chance telling him.
Yeah, just make yourself at home. I believe that big fella's anxious to see you anyway.
I swung up on the gelding and rode back between Bridger and the scout. McDowell threw his hand in the air when we drew close and the column snapped to a halt. Red Cloud sat silent as stone as McDowell gigged his horse forward.
Why are you still roaming around out here?
I need to talk to Mr. Cloud.
I wasn't sure where, how, or even if McDowell stood in the scheme. But I figured if I could get Red Cloud's ear for a minute, I could stop the whole crazy plan. I leaned out and stared past McDowell toward the column.
Mr. Cloud! Don't go into Crofton! It's a setup with the railroad!
McDowell bumped his horse against mine, grabbing the bridle.
What on earth are you talking about? Do you realize the difficulty I had getting him to come to Fort Laramie?
I jerked my horse away.
You hear me, Chief? It's all one big double cross!
Red Cloud leaned to one of his braves beside him. They both shrugged. Two officers rode up beside him as Shad and two soldiers gigged their horses up to us.
I want to talk to the Chief. Are you refusing to let me?
Before you speak to anyone, I suggest you first hear what Agent Shadowin has to say.
Agent who?
I shot McDowell a puzzled look as Shad reined up. Shad whipped a small leather wallet from his pocket, and I saw sunlight sparkle on the small gold badge.
Mr. Crow, as an agent of the United States Secret Service, I'm placing you under arrest for theft of federal property, knowing and receiving stolen government property.
I watched his lips move and heard his words, but somehow nothing made sense after the flash of the gold badge. I just stared at Shad with my mouth open as the two soldiers sidled up, took my reins, and patted me down for weapons.
Attempting to incite a riot among Indians? Conspiring to sell firearms to the Indians? What's the use? You're just guilty of everything that comes to mind.
And as the soldiers slapped the pair of cuffs around my wrists and tightened them, I felt I had to say something.
You got the wrong man!
He's a pistol, riding or walking.
Chad, just listen to me one second. You're doing a terrible thing riding Red Cloud into Crofton. There's a scheme to take him hostage. All the time we kept hearing about a reward, it was true.
The rawhide strip slapped around my mouth. In a split second, I knew how Ben Bone must have felt the night he tried to tell the truth to Mad Johnson. Shad eased his horse beside mine and pulled the Glades knife from my boot. He leaned in close.
I've heard enough lies from you to last a lifetime. I don't think you even know when you're lying. But it's over now, so don't make me change my mind and kill you on the spot.
That afternoon, Shad released my gag as we sat down to a plate of jerked beef and canned peaches. 30 yards away, McDowell had a canvas awning thrown up to shade Red Cloud, the officers, and himself. Shad and I sat on a rock.
I know I've lied to you, but no more than you have to me.
That's different. I was performing my job as an agent of the government.
Yeah, well, I was performing mine as a horse thief. Funny how much the two have in common, ain't it?
I can put your gag back on right now.
I'm just making conversation. I can't get over you being a lawman. How can you be a Secret Service agent when you people ain't even got your citizenship yet?
It's a secret.
Well, it ain't no secret that you're riding Red Cloud into a trap. All right. I know I ain't supposed to keep saying it, but it's a fact. When we get to Crofton, you'll see. You'll feel like buying new boots and kicking yourself in the ass.
Nobody is going to Crofton, especially us. After we eat, Kermit and I are taking you on a treasure hunt. I found the bodies of Pope's men where you or somebody ambushed them, but they're still Pope and his brothers, maybe more. My job was to find out who was giving Pope inside information on payroll shipments. That's accomplished. You found it out the night you heard Mad Johnson talking to Pope in his tent. I should thank you for it.
You have.
I've given you every opportunity to get out of it, but you're like a crazed coyote. You just keep sniffing and foraging on. Never seen anything quite like you and your friend. You'd both make good agents if you could keep your saddle off other people's horses.
You didn't mind accepting our friendship, deceiving us, making us think you were one of us.
Don't hand me that. I was never more than hired help. You never told me what you were really up to, prowling around up here in the middle of an Indian war.
Well, that's where you're wrong. We only came to run in horses. Nothing else.
I believe it now. I've seen that you're both actually crazy enough to do something like that. I probably thought it all along. But I'm not after you. Never was. I just needed a cover for being here. I couldn't have gotten very far on my own. I knew when we met that if anybody would wind up in the thick of things, it would be you two. All I had to do was hook on and wait.
Glad we could accommodate, Mr. Shadowin'. I remember the day in Carrington's office when he told me he'd asked Washington to investigate the Pope gang getting inside information. Now I felt foolish that I hadn't suspected Shad all along. Looking back, I saw that everything about him had been directed toward the Pope gang, including charging the barn that first day in Crofton. You're the reason Trapp wouldn't let us leave town, ain't you? I bet it was your idea to have the horses confiscated.
It would have ended right there. The Popes would have come for you. I'd have taken them down, clean and simple.
That wouldn't have gotten you the money, or told you who the contact was.
They would have talked. Not everyone is as hard-headed as you.
Riders coming!
Bridger was watching from the edge of camp. Shad stood and gazed up the trail. When the horsemen became visible, he stepped over and pulled up my gag.
What the...
In case that's your friend.
I stood up and craned my neck. I could tell it was Tillman at the front of the four riders. His string tie fluttered in the breeze. Stomping the ground, I was feeling more and more like Ben Bone.
Keep still or I'll crack your head.
That settled me right down. Tillman and his men stopped outside the canvas awning, slid from their saddles, met Colonel McDowell wiping his mustache with a white linen napkin, and followed him over to us.
Seems these gentlemen are anxious to see you. I can't imagine why.
I gazed from the approaching group and watched Red Cloud stand up from his meal and watch curiously. Beside him, one of the braves started to rise, but Red Cloud placed a hand to his shoulder, stopping him.
Yeah, that's him. That's a son of a bitch.
Tillman pulled out a .44 and aimed it at me. I jumped behind Shad.
Step away. I'm killing him right here and now.
Easy, sir. This man is a federal prisoner under my arrest. Put away the gun, or you'll be arrested, too.
What's this man saying, Colonel? Who the hell is he?
This gentleman is agent...
I'm Jefferson Elridge Shadowin, United States Secret Service. Do you have difficulty with that?
Shad's neck and shoulders tightened, ready to pounce. Tillman's gun lowered. His jaw twitched.
No offense. I just didn't know you were in on the plan.
Agent Shadowin is here investigating payroll robberies. He just happens to be riding with us.
What plan?
I stepped around beside him and saw his nostrils flare. McDowell's face took on a pinched redness.
Our coming here has involved some carefully detailed coordination, Agent Shadowin. I assure you, we have scrutinized and evaluated every possible...
What plan?
Okay. We may have to detain Chief Red Cloud temporarily in Crofton for his own safety. Let me assure you, we will be extending every courtesy.
I'd managed to work my gag loose. I told you they were going to waylay him. Shad grabbed me by my handcuffs and slung me to the ground.
Open your mouth again and I'll put a bullet through you.
He drew his pistol and pointed it toward me.
And this weasel stole my horse and brand new saddle. He also killed one of my men.
He's my prisoner. I don't doubt he stole your horse. He steals everybody's horse. But he's going with me. Unless you would prefer I traveled with you to Crofton and see that everything goes smoothly with Red Cloud.
Tillman tried to sidestep Shad to get to me. McDowell intercepted him.
That will not be necessary, I assure you. I'm certain Mr. Tillman's only interest is getting his horse and saddle back. Am I correct, Mr. Tillman?
Damn it, Shad. You can't let them bastards take Cloud to Crofton.
One more word, Crow.
I watched as one of Tillman's men walked over, took the reins of the chestnut gelding, and started back.
Take that flea-infested blanket off my saddle.
The gunman untied my blanket full of money and threw it on the ground. The fall broke the leather ties, and the blanket rolled open a foot. My heart nearly stopped.
Yeah. And if you'll take some good advice, you'll put a bullet through his head and roll him in a ditch. We've rounded up the rest of his group. All but one, anyway. I'll expect you and Crofton tonight as planned, Colonel.
Of course. Agent Shadowin, I suggest you leave immediately. I don't want him around here trying to instigate trouble.
McDowell spun on his heel and walked away behind Tillman. Bridger kneeled down and retied my blanket roll and pitched it to me. I hugged it to me.
Their feller needs his blanket riding or walking.
Thanks. Well, Shad, there it is. Was I lying?
Bridger walked away toward the Pawnee scouts. Shad stared as Tillman and his men mounted near the awning and turned back down the road.
I was right, wasn't I? They're gonna hold him prisoner.
No. For a minute, I thought they were, but I should have known better. They're not gonna hold him prisoner. They're gonna kill him.
Shad, Kermit, and I rode out past the rear of the resting column. I lay my blanket roll across my lap and tried to adjust myself to the grind and motion of the pack mule Shad had provided. I glanced over my shoulder as the soldiers and the canvas awning disappeared behind us.
Kermit, I'll trade you my hat, boots, this mule, and $3 for that dappled gray.
Kermit just stared straight ahead.
Shut up, Crow. The sooner you get tired of riding that rail back, the sooner you'll lead us to the money.
Hold your breath, Mr. Shadowin, partner. I'll grind my ass bone up to my elbows before I take you anywhere but straight to hell. You're just as guilty as Tillman and his bunch. You're letting Red Cloud die just so you can make a showing for yourself up in Washington.
Keep it up and I'll feed you to the Pope gang before I kill them.
A mile behind the column, a faint call of a nightbird let me know it was Quiet Jack that got away. I watched Shad closely to see if he'd heard it too. Shad's expression didn't change. Another mile farther, Shad swung sharp off the trail and turned back in a wide circle. I looked around and saw he was heading back above the trail.
What's this? I thought you said we were heading back to the rock where the money's buried. I get it. All that talk about tracking the Pope gang. You're scared you might really run into him.
I was saying whatever came to mind to try and find out his plans. But he rode on. By the time we'd circled back above the spot where the column had stopped to eat, the trail was empty. We stayed in the scattered woods above, watched the wake of their dust in the distance, then began following them toward Crofton.
So you're heading in to help Red Cloud after all?
I spotted the glint of a rifle barrel on the slope above us as we entered a narrow terraced ravine. Figuring it was Jack taking position, I lowered my head and kept still about it. Then, 10 yards into the shelter of pines...
Freeze. With your hands up.
My voice wasn't Jack's. I threw up my cuffed hands and the bedroll flipped off my lap and rolled down behind a rock. Shad and Kermit looked around as four riflemen eased slowly from behind cover and descended toward us.
Woohoo! We got the son of a bitches this time, Parker.
One of Pope's brothers called over his shoulder...
Ease them pistols out and drop them.
I watched as Shad grudgingly raised his pistol with two fingers and let it fall. He slipped his rifle from the scabbard and pitched it away. Kermit threw away his shotgun. Pope's brother glanced over his shoulder.
That's it, Parker. Come on out.
A few seconds passed as Pope's gunman scanned the woods.
I says, Parker, come on out here.
Finally, the gunman shrugged toward the woods.
What in the hell are we supposed to do now, Parker?
Jack stepped forward from the woods, holding Parker Pope by the collar with a rifle jammed against his neck. He held the reins to his horse in his hand with the rifle. Pope had a red welt across his forehead. Blood trickled.
You're the boss, Pope. Tell him what to do. It's decision time here in the high country.
Drop the guns. Do what he tells you.
Why? We've got a drop on him.
Because, damn it. He's gonna kill me if you don't.
Parker, I don't mean to sound like a poor sport about it, but if he kills you, we'll still get the money, won't we?
Listen up, you dumb peckerwood.
Jack stepped beside Polk with the rifle barrel still at his neck.
We ain't carrying the money with us. Do we look that stupid? Now do like he says and drop the guns, or I'll give him this rifle and he'll shoot you.
I don't know. I just can't see what it'll get me.
He laid his thumb across the rifle hammer. I was ready to jump to the ground for Shad's gun any second. My eyes met Shad's as we both glanced toward the rifle on the ground. Kermit sat slumped with his hands high.
You're my brother, for Christ's sake.
Still, I can't see what good it'd do for us to...
Jack fired one shot through the gunman's chest. I leaped for Shad's rifle, caught it, and rolled away. Shad slammed onto the ground behind me. I managed to cock the rifle and fire, but my handcuffs kept me from taking aim. Jack blazed away as I struggled to cock the rifle again. Before I could shoot, the gunman scrambled away in Jack's hail of fire. Shad dove for his revolver, but was driven back beneath his spooked horse by two rifles. I scrambled to the pistol as Shad tried to keep from being stomped by his horse. Once I got the pistol in my hands, I poured fire into the closest rifleman and watched the other take off behind the cover of rocks. Shad started crawling toward me.
That's close enough, Mr. Jefferson Elridge Shadowin.
Shad just dropped on his chest and shook his head.
It ain't my place to say, Parker, but if you ever start another gang, you ought to leave your family out of it. They ain't a real loyal bunch.
You can take your hands down now, Kermit.
I grinned at Shad and motioned him up with the pistol. Agent Shadowin, I think it's time we reorganize our travel arrangements.
And we better do it quick. I figure Long Jake's gonna be sticking his nose in here about any minute now, if them Indians didn't kill him.
I held my hands out to Shad. He unlocked the cuffs, snapping the cuffs around his wrists safe.
Listen, my vacation is over as of today. I don't give a damn if they throw this whole Powder River bunch in one bucket and drop it down a well. I'm going home!
I stepped over and picked up the blanket roll from behind a rock. Jack watched as I swung it up behind his saddle and tied it down. You need something to sleep on. Take this.
And by God, I will.
He started toward his horse, then stopped. Well, go on. I can handle it from here. Maybe I ain't nothing. Maybe I'm as no account as everybody up here thinks I am. And maybe I was crazy to ever get suckered into this mess. But Red Cloud's fixing to die because he took my word about McDowell. That was my fault. And I'll die before I see it happen.
You give your life for Red Cloud? Over this? Then you are crazy. Hell, it ain't even yours! And it's a lost cause even if it was. But we're leaving here rich. Cash, greenbacks, that's what it's about.
It's about honor, Jack. I gave my word without lying for a change. I aim to keep it. It's just common decency. And I'm about as common as it gets.
Jack turned, leaned against his horse with both hands, shook his bowed head and tapped his fingers on the saddle. I heard him chuckle and mumble something under his breath.
My vacation ain't really over till midnight tonight. I reckon that's enough time to clean things up.
I hate leaving a mess.
I glanced at Shad and thought I saw a trace of a smile before he looked away. Kermit sat scratching his head. Pope sneered and spit on the ground. On the way back to Crofton, I ran things through my mind. I knew Jack was right. We should have taken the money and headed out. But I couldn't leave Powder River knowing I'd watched a good man go to his death for no reason except to cover up the army's mistake.
If you want to change your mind and ride away from here right now, I'll not say a word about it. Red Cloud has won this war. They'll never win another. If they don't kill him today, they'll kill him next week or the week after. We can still leave.
I stared at Jack with my jaw set tight.
Just checking.
I pushed up my hat as Shad stepped his mule beside me.
If you're smart, you'll set me free and let me help you. All I want is what I came for, Parker Pope and the stolen money. I feel as strongly about what's happening to Red Cloud as you do. That's why I circled back.
Then you should have said so before the metal bit your wrist. It's hard to believe a man in a chain, remember?
All right, I tormented you a little. Perhaps I shouldn't have, but let's put aside personal grievances and look at the fact. You need every gun you can get if you're going to take on McDowell and Tillman. I don't want to watch Red Cloud die just because you and I haven't exactly hit it off.
Well, that's putting it smooth and mild. What about you, Pope? You think we ought to shake hands and make up? Just out of your deep concern for Red Cloud?
Go to hell, Crow.
Behind him, Kermit sat with a wide-eyed, blank expression. We all started down the trail into Crofton. We swung wide around the outskirts of town to look for Dirty Jaw and the wagon load of rifles. I had hopes that Dirty Jaw would throw in with us when he heard what was going on. But when we met him on the road near Crofton, and I told him about it, he actually laughed. What's so funny? I hope maybe you'd throw in with us. I sat on my horse beside his wagon.
You're out of your mind if you think I'm facing the army and the railroad.
Dirty Jaw released the brake on the wagon and started to slap the reins across the horse's backs. I jumped my horse in and grabbed the reins. He reached for a shotgun beside him. Jack drew his .44.
Christ, Jaw! You're supposed to be his friend! He trusted you to bring his rifles to him. You ride with his warriors. Doesn't this mean anything to you?
Not a lick. I told you weeks back. I play it either way and work for whoever is on top. If he gets killed, I guess he loses. In that case, adios, Red Cloud.
I threw loose the reins.
Then get out of here. I guess you're stuck with a load of rifles.
We made a deal. You're supposed to pay me on delivery.
And I will. The deal was you'd deliver them to me in Crofton. So I'll see you there. Adios, Mr. Dirty Jaw.
Wait. We didn't figure on Crofton crawling with army and railroaders. I'm delivering the rifles right here.
That's fine. But I'm giving you the money in Crofton. That's how it is, flat out. If you don't like it, write your damn congressman.
We turned and started away.
Look, I'll give you one day. If Cloud's still alive when the smoke settles, I'll bring him in. If not, I'm gone.
We rode away quietly.
Look at it this way. As much far-handed crap as we've pulled, what's the odds of us getting killed doing something decent for somebody? It'd have to be better than 1,000,000 to 1.
Thanks, Jack. I feel a lot better now.
Gentlemen, consider my offer. I get Pope and the money, both of you go free, and Red Cloud lives. After the fighting starts, it'll be too late to negotiate.
That's mighty generous of you, Mr. Shadowin. But there's no way in hell we're giving up the money. It ain't in our nature, and no more deals. I'm sick of deals. Deals is what's caused all this. Army deals, railroad deals.
I checked my revolver and spun the wheel like the hand of fate spinning the wheel of time. Deals, deals, deals.